Yo, what is going on, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the EG3 Show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. I'm your host, Eddie Greer. The EG3 Show is all about the world of NASCAR, Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motor sports, in a jam-packed episode here for you guys this afternoon on this Friday, the first Friday of September. September the 1st. My oh my, as how time has flown by this year. It's already September. A lot of things are going on throughout the sports world. Of course, football beginning this weekend. Or should I say this week, got the Cup Series closing in the playoffs. Pretty much all divisions closing in the playoffs. The bubble pitcher and all things sports. And of course, we can't forget about those who are affected down in Houston, Texas. And our thoughts and prayers to those down there, especially with first responders and everything else like that. So continue, everyone, to pray for Houston and do what you can, pray, send donations. But it's been amazing, first off, to see all the donations being handed out, all the football teams, individuals going out of the way to do what they need to do to help those have been impacted down there in Houston. It's such a devastating event that took place, and definitely, you know, my prayers, thoughts are going towards those folks down there as they slowly get back on their feet. And it's been a process for sure for those of you down there. I have a few people around that area, family members down there, or I should say family relatives down there. So yes, definitely, we should all be praying for the folks down, ladies, gentlemen down there. But also, you gotta be encouraged by what we've seen over the past week and a half, with individuals stepping out of their way, donating all kinds of big money to Houston, Texas. So I wanted to start off by this afternoon by saying, keep doing your thing, people. Donate, pray, do what you gotta do. You gotta come together as one to help out other folks. And today on the EG3 Show, we're gonna begin in the Xfinity Series right now. Speaking of doing your thing right now, how about Jeremy Clements doing his thing on the racetrack last weekend, getting the job done in Road America? The Wiley veteran, the little team that could, Jeremy Clements, father-son operation, took down the big dogs in the Xfinity Series, Junior Motorsports, Joe Gibbs Racing, Ganassi, Richard Childress Racing. All those were in the top, represented in the top five. Jeremy Clements, oh, for 256. You can race that zero off the board for Jeremy Clements. His win, and not only that, how do you not like chaos? And the chaos unexpectedly comes in the Xfinity Series. Jeremy Clements makes his name, puts a mark in the playoff picture, and my oh my, how has that changed the perspective of that playoff chase with three races to go, I believe, until their cutoff race here very shortly. You're listening to the EG3 Show right here on KCSportsRadio.com, JPEG Sports Network. Jeremy Clements, usually when I talk about him on the podcast, it's related to great retriever plate runs like the one he did last year in the playoffs last year. He wasn't a part of it, but he was a factor in the finish, and also going back to Daytona as well. And kind of overlooked him as a pretty decent road course racer. But how this race played out, Jeremy commenced here in the second half of the race. It was a good strategy call made by the crew chief. This race reminded me so much of the Pocono race a few weeks back, where Kyle Busch and Adam Stevens decided, let's stay out a little longer and pit for more fresher tires later as the race winds down. This was exactly what happened in Wisconsin. Kmetz was out front doing a solid job and even pulling away from the second and third place cars. And that gap might have been the key to saving him, but this race went down to the wire with two laps to go. Matt Tiff was out front at the time. Jeremy Kmetz pitted. He was the last one to pit. And then came back on the racetrack and really hawked down Brennan Gaughan and Justin Marks. I think he was in front of Justin Marks. He hawked down Michael Annette as well. Passed Cole Custer. Disposed Blake Koch, William Byron, and the rest of those Xfinity regulars. And the battle was for the lead. Matt Tiff looked like he was in position to get his first win. Not so fast. Jeremy Kmetz caught Tiff and at first had difficulties getting around Matt Tiff. But come, I believe, corner 8 or 9. I can't remember which one, which corner it was. And all of a sudden, Jeremy Kmetz goes to the end. I should say, to the outside. I can't remember how this played. I believe he went to the inside. And then the two of them collect each other, go spin, synchronize spinning, the dump and run. And I thought for a second that Michael Annette, who was the third place car at this time of the 51-19 getting together, he was in position to get a win, steal the win, and get into the playoffs. He was nowhere near the front because that gap was so big. Jeremy Kmetz was pulling away. Matt Tiff had a decent sized lead. And if I'm correct, he had a 6-second lead. That was erased dramatically by the hard charging Kmetz. Kmetz accidentally gets to Tiff. And then Kmetz just keeps going. Both of them keep going. Tiff lost second to Annette, but then Kmetz just took care. The spin happened, he took off, and Jeremy Kmetz booked himself a trip to the playoffs. And not only that, folks, ladies and gentlemen, he books 5 playoff points, and which, hey, he looked pretty competitive out there in practice at Darlington earlier this afternoon. So, hey, if Jeremy Kmetz can get decent finishes in the first part of playoffs here and not be a one section and done type of driver, he could probably make some noise here. Especially got Talladega, where Kmetz is pretty competitive there. Let's not count on us 51, but my goodness, a feel good story from last weekend. Jeremy Kmetz gets it done, winning the Johnsonville 180, leading 10 laps. And my, oh my, how big will those 5 points, playoff points, be in the playoffs? We'll have to find out when it comes closer to playoff time. Michael Annette, as I mentioned, finished in a run-up spot. And he was on strategy as well, kind of like Kmetz as well, staying out of trouble. And my, how things changed fast for Annette and another driver I'm going to get to momentarily. Annette saw his chances of getting up there and battling for the win. Didn't quite happen, but he is only 11 points to the good right now. So he has to be careful. Matt Tiff, he's pretty comfortable in where he is, even though he did not get the win, was very gracious in his near miss there. Third place, Justin Marks finished in the fourth position. And how about Brennan Gaughan, the other guy? He caught a shot last weekend. He said he was going to win. And what happened? He went off to a slow start early on. but he caught fire late in his race as well, was in position there, and didn't have the car to get up there and run with the front runners. That said, gone, finished fifth. He comes up short of a home run of the Grand Slam, if you will, and Brendan Gaughan, he is the last driver locked into the playoffs if the playoffs were to start this weekend. He's only 4 points to the good. And how about Dakota Armstrong? He was a lock into the field. He is the first guy out of the playoff picture. Man, oh man. He was very good in his Twitter response, congratulating Comets, but at the same time, he's probably very heartbroken at the right now that he's outside looking in. But this race right here, this bubble position just got real. Dakota Armstrong, 4 out, gone, barely in, a net 11 points out. So you're looking at somebody in there. If a driver in one of these two have a bad race, and Dakota Armstrong can capitalize on it, we could be looking at a big driver, named driver, possibly being out of this playoff chase in the Xfinity Series. Brendan Gaughan is one of those names. Michael Annette, he comes out of Junior Motorsports. So right now, Junior Motorsports has all their cars in. But if he gets knocked out, then you're looking at only 3. So right now, I mean, this could be big going forward, but this Comets win changes everything, folks. Literally, I was on my edge of the seat during those last 6 laps because no caution had come out, and it was basically Imano, Imano, and that's what I wanted to see. This is what the Xfinity Series, folks, is all about, with no cup drivers, and the benefit of no cup drivers really put on a show, especially the 51-19. Up there, going toe-to-toe for the win. That was some great racing right there. This is what the Xfinity Series should be about. No cut regulars, just the normal guys that compete in the series, like Allgaier, Justin Marks, who comes in every now and then. What's the name I'm trying to think of? Tyler Reddick, the Brandon Jones, the William Byrons, he'll be moving up the cup officially next year, obviously. More on him later on in the show. Cole Custers, the Blake Cooks, these guys that raced, put their heart and soul into this series, that want to race for top 10s, want to get up there and battle for a lead. This is what it's all about, instead of the cup guys coming in there and just dominating the race. Like, obviously, a name we talk about all year and for the last few years, Kyle Busch, the Joey Logano's, the Brad Keselowski's, the Kevin Harvick's, the Kyle Larson's, you name a couple more of them too. You know, everyone says, you know, you gotta learn for Sundays, whatnot. You know, you gotta put your focus more on Sundays instead of going down and ruining the young guys' experience. I mean, yes, it might for pretty much most of them, yeah, they might say, well, you know, it's good experience for us to race against the cup guys. But in theory, from where I'm sitting at, it's not good. I mean, listen, you're moving up a level with these guys to try to get the cup, and you want to beat the cup guys. Yes, absolutely. But also, it could get tiresome when you see a Kyle Busch dominate a race every week, and you're not getting a chance to go up there and battle for a win, especially if you're not in competitive equipment. But in this case, here, no, you dealt with no cup guys, and we saw a tremendous battle, a one-car operation with little to no resources, or little resource, I should say, than a Junior Motorsports or Joe Gibbs or Richard Childress Racing come up and take down Joe Gibbs Racing. Something to see. And now the playoff picture just got juicy and fresh. And we're going to see a battle here down the stretch here in the Xfinity Series. The rest of the top 10, William Byron finished 6th. Blake Cook, 7th. Cole Custer, 8th. Casey Mears finished 9th. Parker Kligerman, NBC broadcaster there, coming home in the 10th position. You're listening to the EG3 show right here on KC Sports Radio. NFL.com, the top 10 been set. Let's take a look at the outside of the top 10, going through positions 11 through 20, which included Justin Allgaier in 11, Josh Bellicki rallied back to finish in the 12th position, Ross Chastain 13th, Elliot Sadler 14th, Daniel Hemric in the 15th spot, Austin Cindric, a name that I've said on the podcast here lately, especially as the Truck Series will be racing Sunday afternoon at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. He's the guy that'll be watching up there. Cindric, in his first Xfinity Series start on a road course, finished 16th. Jay Yilley, 17th. Ben Kennedy, 18th. Christopher Bell, in 19th position. And Ryan Sieg finished in a 20th position. And Ryan Sieg will be honoring his brother Shane during Throwback Weekend this weekend. Some notables here from the race Xfinity Series: Brandon Jones, 25th. Ryan Reed, who's in the top 10, faded to 35th. JD Davidson, who won his first stage of the afternoon after finishing in the top 5 at Mid-Ohio, finished 37th in the race. That is your rundown there. Short, notable rundown from the Johnsonville 180. And next up for them, of course, Saturday, Sports Clips Haircuts VFW 200 going down Saturday, which is actually tomorrow, at Darlington Raceway, 3:30 Eastern Time. That means 2:30 Central Time. NBC Sports Network will have coverage on TV. MRN will have coverage all weekend long on Throwback Weekend. This is one of my favorite weekends of the season. If not, the Daytona 500 is right up there, in my opinion, as my favorite weekends because season's starting. But this right here, well, with all the throwback looks, schemes, people doing the mustache look and whatnot, Ryan Blaney, this is one of my favorite tracks, or I should say, weekends of the year. And I'm looking forward to seeing a little bit of racing this weekend. Of course, football is on my mind, as well as a lot of other people. But yes, we still got racing, and it's getting down to the wire, especially in the Cup Series. So again, once again, those of you who are going to be close to a television tomorrow afternoon, Sport Clips Haircuts VFW 200 will be on TV. NBC Sports Network, MRN, will have coverage of the broadcast. Real quick, turn one. It is time for, you know what time it is, Three Wide with yours truly, EG3. And we're going to go to turn one here right now for a few minutes before we turn it over to Behind the Wheel, going back to Bristol here in just a few minutes. Turn one, Three Wide at turn one, Chase Elliott, William Byron, news surrounding Hendrick Motorsports this week. This comes a couple of days ago. Of course, Chase Elliott right now is in a Fame 24 car, which Jeff Gordon retired a couple of years ago, right? So the announcement was made 2 days ago where Chase Elliott, who in the Xfinity Series for Junior Motorsports race in a 9 car, that's where his father Bill Elliott raced for so many years with that family fame 9 car. Well, Chase Elliott will be bringing it back next season, which means William Byron will be donning the Jeff Gordon 24 car. This is something else. This is pretty much a new era, pretty much, for the exception of Jimmy Johnson, who will still be there, the grandpa, if you will, of these guys that are coming in from Hendrick Motorsports. Excitement dawns from one Georgia fan to the other, me being from Georgia to another Georgia man. This is exciting to see Chase Elliott. I mean, probably overlook the numbers a little bit. Chase Elliott still looking for that first Cup win. Everybody thought Chase would have a win by now, especially the close calls last year and even a little bit this year, was coming up short at Michigan. Chase Elliott won with this car a few times, I believe 4 or 5 times in the Xfinity Series, and brought home the Xfinity Series Championship in his rookie season. So maybe changing the numbers could do Chase Elliott pretty good. I don't know. But William Byron in this number 9 car, in the trucks, in the Xfinity Series, he's tallied up 10 wins between trucks and Xfinity in this 9 car for Liberty University. Mr. Liberty himself, as I like to call him on the pod. William Byron getting it done, but now he's going to be filling big shoes for Jeff Gordon. And Jeff Gordon loves to move. And he thinks that William Byron is going to do big things. Well, why not? I think he's going to do some good things as well. William Byron knows how to win, and he's going to bring that to, obviously, the most heralded owner team in all of NASCAR, Rick Hendrick, in that organization. Of course, the 24 will be paired with, I believe, with Chase Elliott, I believe. So this is going to be a big match in heaven, really, when you look at it, because obviously Dale Jr. and Jimmy Johnson share a shop. Well, Dale Earnhardt Jr. will hang it up full-time at the end of this year, obviously, and Jimmy Johnson coming back for more, and depending on what happens in the playoffs with him, we'll see what happens. That's another story. Obviously, we documented his summer struggles. Mr. Groundhog, we ain't seen him in 3 months, Jimmy Johnson. Dale Jr. struggling. And then you have this perfect match, really, of Chase Elliott, William Byron, this youth that we talked about previously on the pod. That's really, really good for this sport right now. And the way that all these guys are having success, Ryan Blaney, to name one, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano, even though Joey Logano's had his obviously on-track struggles and might not even make the playoffs. Gotta look exciting things for Hendrick Motorsports. And you look at the lineup, obviously, and let's not forget about Alex Bowman being in the full-time ride, replacing Junior next year in the 88 car. Big things are happening. Pretty much a new leaf. Well, not officially. Officially, of course, with you got your veteran championship driver in Jimmy Johnson, but definitely a new era. You can pretty much say a new era is coming with Hendrick Motorsports. Alex Bowman showed what he can do last year, almost winning Phoenix. Byron coming up the Cup. And then Chase Elliott, he's proved his worth, but still looking for that elusive victory. And he's trying to battle himself into the playoffs at the same time but looking ahead to next year, just a bit with this team, Johnson, Bowman, Byron, Elliott, this is kind of a squad that if you want to run a squad or a fantasy team in NASCAR, this would be it right here. Jimmy Johnson will be your number one, and going to probably Chase Elliott number two. I go with Bowman 3, Byron 4. Obviously, if you haven't done your football fantasy picks, you might want to, or draft or whatever, you might want to get on that, because the season next week's around the corner. And as you can probably tell, I'm excited for football season 2. Well, but Hendrick Motorsports right now, this team, you know, they're looking to find more speed, and they are getting younger by the drivers. So definitely a good move. Chase Elliott back in his family number 9. And oh, by the way, the number 5 of Casey Kane. Obviously, Casey Kane will not be back next year via William Byron. We've taken his spot in no number 5 for Hendrick Motorsports. So that the number 5 is out, along with Casey Kane. So Casey Kane looking for a ride, and Hendrick Motorsports looking to find answers on getting more speed. But the future for this organization is pretty doggone bright. Folks, EG3 Show, it's time to take our first time out. EG3 Show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. When we come back on the other side, you're going to hear Behind the Wheel this week. This week, Bristol. Kyle Busch bringing the brooms out and sweeping the field and taking the haters and basically making a statement to all the haters out there who do not like Kyle Busch. Obviously, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago on a podcast. If you missed it, it's check that out. But Kyle Busch has been on a serious tear since the Coca-Cola 600, and he made a huge statement 2 weeks ago. You are listening to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com.
Is because both times he just drives me right out to the racetrack. the f*** is that idiot doing? The 17 has hit me twice on the back straightaway his last two laps because he ain't watching his f***ing windshield. Give me that damn hood so high he can't see over it. 10-4. I'm serious. I wasn't making a joke.
At Kenseth, we'll see the green and white checkered flag. Jimmy Johnson will come in second. Kevin Harvick will finish third.
You ready? Ready? Green, green, green.
Derek Jones looks very comfortable out there in that number 77 car as he holds on to about an 8-car length advantage.
And you won't be able to do that for long. We just be nice and steady and we'll shoot away.
The car up.
I don't see any smoke yet. Both tires are black.
Inside, inside. 24 spot behind you. You're okay. Roll around.
Tell that 24, I'm sorry about that. I never even saw him down there.
It's not over yet. We got to fight back out of this.
Eric Jones, Matt Kenseth up top. Here's Kyle Busch on the bottom. Can he slide up in front of Jones? Yes, he does. Kyle Busch, the new leader here at Bristol.
High focus, Jones. Don't slip, but we'll get him. A lot of traffic. A lot of things can happen right here.
Guys, I just got a front end of tonight. I'm sorry. Can't do nothing with it.
Buddy, we're okay. You're doing a hell of a job here. Just keep digging. 9-7. 3 mid. Bottom clear. Top clear. He's sandwiched out back.
Chris? No worries, dude.
Break out the broom again. Kyle Busch will sweep all three races here under the lights in Bristol, Tennessee.
Ah, yeah! Yeah! Take that!
You did one hell of a job, dude. I can't tell you how proud this entire race team is of you. You drove your ass off, okay?
Good day, guys. It's not quite enough.
No worries. We know you drove your guts out. That's all we ask.
Great job, everybody. Proud of you, driver. Way to hang with it, man. Great job this weekend, guys.
EG3 show here on KCSportsRadio.com. You just heard Behind the Wheel. Quite comical this week. Dale Jr.'s comments. That was funny. Yes, and excuse me for the language there. Provided by NASCAR Race Hub that produces Radioactive, which is normally what it's called, but on this podcast, it's Behind the Wheel. You're listening to the drivers and what they are trying to do or what they're trying to say, pretty much frustrations and everything else, jubilation, just like you heard Kyle Busch and Eric Jones, man, oh man, so close to getting that win and locking himself in. He has two more chances to do it beginning Sunday night, Bojangles Southern 500, but yes, a lot of action will happen in that race. Is going to be long, 367 on your toes, action, high riding on that lady in black. It's going to be something. And this playoff picture I've been reading about this week, Clint Bowyer wants a win. He has to get it. Matt Kenseth wants a win. It's all about winning right now for these guys. It's not about these top 10 finishes or whatnot. Maybe for some people, but for these drivers, Bowyer, Logano, Kenseth, Jones, Murray, Elliott, as I mentioned in the first segment, these drivers, young or veteran style, they're going to have to get up on this wheel and race the racetrack. That's old cliche, especially at this racetrack, where this racetrack is just about less than a half mile, 1.33 miles, egg-shaped. And if you do not race the racetrack appropriately, especially this race is going to start late sunset, you know, end in darkness. If you don't race the racetrack, it's kind of like Charlotte pretty much. But this lady the mist, it's going to get you if you try to overdrive it or try to do something that you're not supposed to do. And these drivers that I mentioned, obviously you throw in Daniel Suarez in here as well. They can't afford to make a mistake. And rookies, they don't. All the saying about rookies don't do well. Well, we might have a surprise on Sunday. We could see it happen or might not. But hey, everything's on the line right now for these guys that are on the bubble. And for the guys that are in, they're trying to pad up their playoff stats or whatever you're not. Whatever you want to call it. So huge, huge race. The fame. throwback weekend, the Southern 500, put it all together for one big time Sunday night. You talk about Sunday night football, well, Sunday night NASCAR style racing under the lights, South Carolina, can't get no bigger than this. Big stage for those guys that are fighting to get in the postseason. Turn, time to go three wide into turn number two. Little video game racing here. iRacing. If you haven't heard of it, it's kind of like you hear drivers like Matt DiNabeno, Eric Jones say that they need to do a little stimulation on iRacing. What that is basically is a video game where you get practice basically or play a game, racing game basically, against each other and on these different type of tracks. Lead Online Racing Simulation, iRacing.com announced on Tuesday the creation of a new series that will showcase NASCAR's rising stars currently competing in a NASCAR series. The NASCAR iRacing Pro Invitation Series kicked off on Tuesday, which included Christopher Bell, Harrison Burton, Noah Gregson, Todd Gilliland, Blake Koch, Ryan Truex, Parker Kligerman, Ben Kennedy, Ryan Preece, Ty Majeski, and Chase Briscoe. This is an all-star lineup, as well as special guests from the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series and other premier racing leagues from around the world. Drivers will compete for 8 weeks with a four-race schedule for all the bragging rights. Quote unquote from Tony Gardner, "We couldn't be more excited," the president of iRacing.com said in the official release. Quote, "NASCAR is a tremendous partner in the various NASCAR official series on iRacing are extremely popular, adding this series to our esports lineup with real world professionals is thrilling and highlights the continued growth of sim racing," end quote. And on that same day, on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, the first race was held at Iowa Speedway, and it was broadcast live on iRacing.com/live. You can catch that if you're definitely interested in that. See, I had a thing for video games back in the day, definitely. And well, at this point, I have not played a racing video game in a very long time, but iRacing, I've heard of it. And this is something very, very exciting. And also, not only that, but you also get to learn something as well while doing that. Racing these tracks like Iowa and other tracks as well. But this is exciting. You heard the lineup that I just mentioned. Jam-packed. And it goes back to saying the youth of the sport is huge right now. And diving into iRacing tournament series, that's even more exciting. So definitely a lot of things. Like I said at the top of the show, a lot of things going on right now. Exciting things going on other than racing. You got simulated racing. You got the playoffs. You got all this exciting stuff going on. And definitely something to look forward to in the upcoming week, especially with iRacing.com. So exciting things happening there. Exciting things happening with the truck series. They'll be in Canada on Sunday afternoon doing their battle as the battle goes north of the border, Canada style, for the Chevrolet Silverado 250, which is part of a doubleheader on Sunday. Of course, capped off with the Bojangles Southern 500. Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, 1:30 Central Time, 2:30 East Coast Time. And for those of you listening to this podcast who are living West Coast, you can figure out the time difference and just figure it out from there. FS1 has coverage on TV. MRN has triple header duty this weekend. We'll have it as well. And obviously, all the focus in all three divisions is towards the bubble position. Chase Briscoe right now comfortably with two races to go. Obviously their regular season finale in Chicagoland in the battle. Of course, Ben Rhodes is there as well, extended his cushion a little bit, but like I said last week, one mishap could change all that. And Ryan Truex right now 9 and last one in to Grant Enfinger, who is 9 out. But the threat that I keep talking about, Austin Cindric. We didn't talk about Jeremy Kmetz very much, and look what he did in Road America last week with a huge upset, and the biggest upset to this point. The other upset, you can throw in Kasey Kahne in there in Indianapolis 500, Austin Dillon, Coke 600, but Jeremy Kmetz, the biggest upset to this point with his win, messing up, throwing chaos everywhere in the Xfinity Series playoff picture. But we see Austin Cindric win this race Sunday afternoon. That means Ryan Truex could be out, or if something happens to Ben Rhodes, then he could be out. So definitely, you ain't sleeping that night very much if you're those drivers. Chase Briscoe should be able to get into the playoffs here in a few weeks. But that goes about saying it's going to be an exciting race. What we saw last year, John Hunter Nemechek, the defending winner, Cole Custer, all up in the grass, drag racing in the grass, literally, foot stretch, grass flying everywhere, trucks banging up against the fence, fight breaking out after that. Woo! We see any more of that. It's going to be a barn burner, but definitely really exciting. Finished last year, and then the events happen afterward. It's going to go down Sunday afternoon. Once again, folks, Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, Chevrolet, Silverado 250, Fox Sports 1. MRN has coverage, and again, the times for those of you who are wanting to tune in, 2:30 Central Time for the listening states of Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, Illinois, and a couple more other states in there as well. So a lot of things going on right now, folks. We are going to take our final break here of the afternoon right here on the EG3 show right here on kcsportsradio.com. Before I do that, social media real quick, facebook.com/EG3show for the latest updates throughout the week. Stay tuned this week for multiple updates on our site right there. It's been pretty quiet, but it's going to get ramped up here pretty much this weekend and pretty much through the end of the regular season, because the end of the regular season is almost upon us. And our Twitter handle, which has been rolling of lately, at the EG3_show. I've talked about a new title possibly here. Stay tuned for that as well. But the Twitter handle on our Twitter page at the EG3_show. All right, folks, time to take our final break of the afternoon here on the EG3 show right here on kcsportsradio.com. When I come back, got our final turn. Got something for y'all. A little differently. I'll get on that EG3 helmet stickers as well as the number of the week. I have two of them, and one of them is very, very interesting. I'll touch on that when the EG3 show rolls on right here on kcsportsradio.com.
Inside this soul, screaming
Excuse me, sorry about that. Thought I hit the down button and rewind skillets rebirthing right here on KCSportsRadio.com. I apologize about that mix-up right there. EG3 show is all about the world of NASCAR. Cape World Truck Series, Xfinity, and Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. EG3 stickers, because the trucks and the Cup Series were off. Only got a few of those to hand out. Obviously, EG3 helmet sticker goes out to the man who got his first NASCAR event win, Jeremy Kmetz. 0-for, no more, and into the playoffs. Also, Michael Annette also got an EG3 helmet sticker this week. And throw in the top three, Matt Tiff gets another EG3 helmet sticker this week. There you have your EG3 helmet stickers of the week. Your top three from Road America, Clements, Annette, and Matt Tiff. All right, folks, now time to get into turn number three. And before I do that, I'm going to update a couple of practice sessions that happened at Darlington Raceway, which will be where the Xfinity and Cup Series boys will do battle over there this weekend. And one name's been coming up as often here this afternoon, Denny Hamlin, who's been stout all day long, won a few practice sessions in the Xfinity Series, and Kyle Larson winning the first practice session there for the Bojangles Southern 500. But of course, Darlington, as I mentioned in the first segment, this is not your regular mile and a half racetrack. It's a little less, just under a mile and a half. And also, you got to deal with the tire wear. So, first lap, it's good to have that fast first lap. It might be acceptable like Texas, Charlotte, Kansas. Not here. This is a much more different lady, as the Lady in Black, the nickname of Darlington, for those of you who don't know. Denny Hamlin topped the best 10 consecutive lap average chart for that first practice, followed by the 42, the 41, 18 of Kyle Busch, and one of the guys that has to get in to win to get in, pretty much, Clint Bowyer. Martin Truex Jr. was right behind him, and Matt Kenseth. Turn the page to final practice here, which was won by none other than the man you heard in the Behind the Wheel segment, Kyle Busch, once again getting the job done in practice with the fastest lap. And when you look at the best 10 consecutive lap average, a lot of drivers were focused more on qualifying, because qualifying for the Cup race, Southern 500, is tomorrow, along with qualifying in a race for the Xfinity Series tomorrow at Darlington Raceway. Kyle Larson was fastest in a 10 consecutive lap average. Ryan Blaney, Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, and Denny Hamlin was top five there. Of course, qualifying will be held there tomorrow for the Cup Series as well. So there you have it there. Some practice updates as well. Xfinity also did a few practice sessions as well. So now, last but not least for this week, throwback paint schemes. Yes, folks. Top five favorite paint, old school paint schemes from this upcoming year's race. Of course, there's been a lot been going on with that, a lot of contests been going on for that. NASCAR.com did it as well. And last but not least, I'm going to do my throwback paint schemes of the Bojangles Southern 500. Excuse me. So I'm pulling up my sheet now. So, starting with number five, my fifth favorite, this has got to be Joey Logano's 22 scheme. Now, I don't have the details of it. I could not pull them up this morning. So, I'm just going to go off studying. So, Joey Logano donning the Indy 500 paint scheme, which Jimmy Visser did back in the day. So IndyCar meets NASCAR Pennzoil style for Joey Logano donning the yellow white Pennzoil machine. That's my fifth favorite from the race coming up here on Sunday night. My fourth. And how this did not get in the top 10, I don't know. But Ryan Blaney's machine that I believe, I'm not mistaken, Kyle Petty donned back in the old school days. Red, blue, red, white, and blue car, number 21. And not only that, Ryan Blaney doing the mustache thing, kind of what we've seen in the past for Throwback Weekend. Kyle Larson did it a few years ago, donning the Kyle Busch. Not Kyle Busch. Wow, there's too many Kyles in the Cup Series. Kyle Petty did back when he drove the old mellow yellow, black and yellow fame car. I like that paint scheme. That's got to be one of my all-time favorites. And Blaney doing the mustache look right there looks pretty good for Mr. Blaney, who's been doing pretty much old school stuff all year long for Wood Brothers Racing. Of course, he's moving to Penske next year, and he wants win number 100. Number three, I like this paint scheme from Denny Hamlin this weekend. Red, mostly red, white, 11, retro paint scheme from Sport Clips. He's doing that, and he looks really good this weekend already. Been fast throughout the day, and this is a guy that you're probably going to most contend with. And not only that, I'm going to go on record and say he's going to be a sleeper come playoff time here in a few weeks. Everyone's talking about, you know, obviously Truex, Larson, Busch. Everyone's throwing in Jimmy Johnson. He's going to come out guns blazing, all this. And also Harvick's been thrown in there. But let's not forget about Denny Hamlin, folks. The ultimate sleeper, in my eyes, I think, that could sneak up on a lot of people. Not necessarily sneak up, but could. He could make some noise in the playoffs. But Denny Hamlin sure as heck is making a lot of noise today. And looks very, very racy here. And he could be one of the contenders on Sunday night. All right. This, I had a hard time. You're listening to the EG3 show, by the way, on KCSportsRadio.com. Just a few more minutes this afternoon on this throwback episode. Looking forward to this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. My number two. I should really put this 1B, 1A. And matter of fact, I'm going to do that. So my 1B, Brad Keselowski, donning the old colors of Rusty Wallace, who drove in the all-fame black and white Miller High Life car that's going to be on display on set this weekend. That car looks pretty good as well. And that speed just reminds me of Rusty Wallace in general. You know, going watching NASCAR back in the 90s, all the way through up to now pretty much. But when I first started watching NASCAR, used to really pay attention to that two car of Rusty Wallace, black and yellow machine. And it used to be up front, one of the most fond memories or scary memories of Milt when I come to think of that car. Also associated was that horrifying accident at Talladega, going upside down a few times. But luckily, he was nicked up here and there. But those guys were tough as nails. I really like this paint scheme. Yellow and black Miller High Life. It's going to be something to see that under lights here. Brad Keselowski, of course, tough in his own rights there as well. In my 1A, Danica Patrick, number one on the list for this year's throwback paint scheme look here in 2017. She's donning old school Dale Jarrett's Ford, red and blue, and sometimes white as well, donning those colors where quality care in up there in the mix. Yeah, Dale Jarrett winning those championships with Ford in the 88 machine. Well, Danica Patrick is going to need all of that if she's going to be competitive this weekend. She's been pretty competitive this year, but There have been questions definitely surrounding her and her employment as of next year, but she has a good paint scheme, very good paint scheme this weekend, and she should do something with that this weekend and give it a good ride. Hopefully, possibly a top 21 would do it as well. I'm going to go on record and make that prediction. So there is that as well. Number one, Danica Patrick, my number one, plus two, Brad Keselowski, number three, paint scheme, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, number four, and Joey Logano's paint scheme of Jimmy Visser, rocking those white and yellow paint scheme for Pennzoil, as his regular sponsor anyway for Joey Logano, is number five. All right, folks, numbers of the week to wrap it here this week on the EG3 show, 38. That's the number Bill Elliott has won in the 9 car. 38 victories of his 44 came in the number 9 machine. Chase Elliott will be back in the number 9, like I mentioned in the top of the broadcast this afternoon. 38 wins for Bill Elliott in the 9. His son, Chase Elliott, will be back in that car. Will actually be back in the family number at Hendrick Motorsports next year. And my last number of the week, 300. That's the number of how many hours was put in work to make the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series big time trophy this year. And it looks shiny as a dollar sign. Man, this thing looks good. If you haven't seen yet, check it out on NASCAR.com, MRN, or wherever you get your NASCAR news and notes. Yes, 23 tracks on it, designs and everything. Somebody's going to be holding that thing after the Final Four is over in Homestead. That the thing looks really, really good. Putting all that time and effort to make one heck of a trophy while doing that, pretty amazing. Over 300 hours put in to making that trophy looks good. And somebody's going to be making history holding that trophy up for the very first time in Monster Energy era. Somebody's going to be holding it. Question is who? That's going to be answered in a few more months. Folks, EG3 is a wrap right here on the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com, JPEG Sports Network. And for those of you who are going to be near a TV, this Bojangles Southern 500, if I can ever pull it up, will begin here in a second. Well, 6 o'clock. Looking for the schedule. That there it is right there. All right, finally. Bojangles Southern 500, folks. For those of you interested in what time that is, Sunday night to wrap a race weekend doubleheader. 6 o'clock Eastern time. That means 5 Central time. Green flag wave in between 5 and 5:30. And also, on who's going to be on tap? The most notable class, Hall of Fame class of 2018, will be honored there as well, and will be doing the driver start your intros honor as well. Bojangles Southern 500, 5 Central time. That's going to be a show. And again, folks, keep in mind the bubble drivers, somebody will need to win or try to maintain their position of points. Who will do that this weekend? Also, who will take home the most prestigious race of the year when the checkered flag falls after 367 laps or overtime or wherever that posted to be? Tune in to NBC to find out. That's where the coverage will be at. Folks, thank you for listening to tonight's episode of the EG3 show right here on JPEGSports.com, KCSportsRadio.com. I'm your host, Eddie Greer. We will talk to you next week, and keep prayers for Houston. Have a good throwback weekend, football and all. We'll talk to you again soon. We out.